you see people who truly believe, they sponsor what they believe. Once you can amplify the intensity of the value, the winged creatures will carry your voice. The degree to which you are interested in the king, in his agenda, in his way of doing things, is the degree to which the king empowers you. But the proof of desire is possible, say, and the proof of love is given. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Glory! Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Help me turn to your neighbor and tell them I see the glory of God on you. Tell them I see the Lord strengthening your hands to conquer and to build. I see you making progress by the propelling power of the Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. And I want us to welcome our online members from all over the world. Welcome to First Service. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. Amen. Woo, glory to God. You know, it's one of those first services where I feel I just wish we're not going to cut the service into two. And we're just starting. Amen. I just feel like teaching for 2 hours at a stretch. Without interruption. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you ready for God's word? And hope you enjoy the partnership talk by Pastor Peter. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. One of the signs that you believe is that you sponsor what you believe. Glory to God. In fact, it's an indicator of spiritual maturity. When you see people who truly believe, they sponsor what they believe. Hallelujah. That means if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel, you will sponsor it. Glory to God forevermore. You know, the proof of love is giving. Amen. In fact, the proof of desire is possible to say, and the proof of love is giving. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For God so loved the world that he sang love songs to the world. Amen. Glory to God. For God so loved the world that he yelled from heaven, I love you. Love you guys. Amen. Hallelujah. The proof of love is action. And that action is given. You know, I pastored for over a decade, I can tell you. I know when people's hearts are in the work. From when I was on campus till coming to the city, I know when people's hearts are in the work. It shows in their giving records. It's as simple as that. Saying, oh, pastor, we are with you. We love what you're doing. We believe in what you're doing. That's mouthful. When you believe it, your substance, your talent, your treasures, your time will be invested in it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For the Bible says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. That means you can track where your heart is by following your treasure. Glory to God. Is somebody here? We really can. And even when we talk at a personal level, okay, how do we know what you're passionate about? Just forget church partnership first. How do we know what the person is passionate about? Follow the money. Amen. Follow the money. Follow the money. We know what the person is passionate about. Those who are passionate about fashion, follow the money. You will find that they spend most of their monies on clothes and shoes and gowns. Glory to God. Those who are passionate about knowledge, follow the money. You will see they spend their monies on books, on materials, on trainings. Is a reality. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Those who love their families, follow the money. Amen. You see they spend their monies on their wives, their husbands, their children. Glory to God. And then those who love the kingdom of, who love Christ and his kingdom, when you follow the money, you will see it. Hallelujah. You will see it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This morning we're starting a new series, Kingdom First. Amen. Is that the best shout you can give? Kingdom First. Kingdom First. Hallelujah. Matthew 6:33, very quickly. Kingdom First, which is priority lessons in greatness. Priority lessons in greatness. This will change your life. I need to pay attention. Very quickly, we'll read Matthew 6:23. Psalm 44 verse 3. Hallelujah. Psalm 44 verse 3. And then 2 Chronicles 27 verse 6. Are we there? Matthew 6:33. Can we read this one together? 1, 2, go. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's read it again. 1, 2, go. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? All right. Psalm 44. Very quickly, verse 3. 1, 2. Okay. 1, 2, go. For the garden of the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand, thine arm, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. Glory to God. 2 Chronicles 27 verse 6. 2 Chronicles 27 verse 6. Kingdom first. Priority lessons in greatness. If you get this, you're good. 1, 2, go. So Jotham became what? Mighty. Why? Because he prepared his way before the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he prepared his way before the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the term greatness is not a secular word. It's a kingdom and a biblical reality. Are we together? You know, when people hear greatness, especially for religious Christians, a lot of you have been here for a while, you've been listening to me. I've done a lot of series on greatness. You remember greatness, not survival. How many of you remember that? We've done a lot of series on greatness, moving from survival to greatness in 2007, I believe. You can get those messages and listen to them. Glory to God. You see, so for the religiously cultured, especially in the body of Christ, when you mention greatness and you teach greatness, they see it as some carnal desires to be famous. And there's a difference, praise God. And I've told you the difference again and again and again. Greatness is not fame. Okay? Greatness is not being popular. Greatness is not being ambitious. They are two different things. But the word greatness is biblical and is a kingdom reality. So you should not be unnerved, okay, in using the word. Glory to God. You should not feel uncomfortable with the word. Greatness is biblical. And greatness is part of God's strategy for harvesting a nation in a day. Glory to God. I've told you about two signs that must be fulfilled in the end time. One is the sign of Jonah. And one, Jesus taught it. And the other one is Solomon and the Queen of Sheba, right? He says the sign of Jonah, meaning preaching the gospel en masse. Jonah went to Nineveh and preached the gospel to an entire nation, right? Repentance to them. And they repented en masse. Glory to God. Glory to God. All right, so we said there's that dimension. But the second one was Solomon, or is Solomon attracting the Queen of Sheba? Now, Solomon did not do evangelism, but his greatness attracted royalty. Attracted, like Isaiah would say, kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. Glory to God. Kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. Kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. He said, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. What's the first level? He said, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people, right? But unto you, light, the glory of the Lord is risen, right? He says, nations shall come to your light, meaning nations will respond to your light. But he didn't stop there. He says, kings shall come to the brightness of your rising. That is greatness. At that level, you're talking about proactive witnessing. Glory to God. Proactive witnessing. Solomon did not go on the streets
Yahweh is king. Yahweh is king. No. His greatness. His surpassing greatness. Solomon was larger than life. He sent vibes down to Africa. Glory to God. From Israel. Remember the Queen of Sheba? Baba calls him the Queen of the South, right? From Ethiopia. From Africa. Where she was in Africa, there was no internet. There was no Instagram. There was no television. There was no radio. Word of mouth carried it. Amen. A winged creature carried it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I tell people, never struggle to be famous. Don't try to do this one. No. Work on the value you are adding per time. Once you can amplify the intensity of the value, the winged creatures will carry your voice. Somebody here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, the Queen of the South heard about the fame, heard about the greatness of Solomon, and came. And the Lord is raising people in this place who will not have to talk to certain people. But when they look at your results, they will come. Some will come Nicodemously. Some will come publicly. They say, ah, sir, how are you doing this thing? We are all in this office, but there's something about you. We are seeing your results now. How are you doing this thing? Can I get an amen, somebody? Why in the same city? We're in the same country. How are you doing this thing? You are living as though this economy has no impact on you. You say, yes, actually, I came from another country. I say, really? You know, I tell somebody one day, he said, you don't look like Nigerian. I said, I'm really not. I came from somewhere. He said, where are you from? I said, I came from Zion. He said, Zion. He was trying to think, where is that? In his mind, okay, I thought I saw that in the Bible. Is there a place called Zion in the world? Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. When result is consistent, people will come. People will come. So mediocrity and Christianity don't go together. Smallness and Christianity don't go together. Your greatness will preach the gospel more than mediocrity. Can I get an amen? Have it together. So, greatness is not fame. I tell you that fame is temporary popularity. But greatness is enduring relevance. Glory to God. Greatness is having indelible impact that transcends time and geographical confinement. Glory to God. Greatness means making a mark on the lives of others. That's what greatness means. You are not just living for yourself. There's something about you that includes others. There's something about you that factors others in blessing them, in making their lives better. Somebody said the fastest way to be a success is to help others become successful. How true. That is greatness. That is greatness. Not what the world calls greatness. And by the way, are you aware that the world have their definition of things, have their way of doing things, and they have their metrics of measuring things? Glory to God. For example, a transgender in the world is called brave and courageous. Somebody who was born a man says, I want to be a woman now. And they do surgery and they try. Which one? Somebody says she has done well. Tell him we appreciate him. Tell him we appreciate her. Amen. Glory to God. As Nigerians, amen. Now, the world calls that brave. Oh, he's so brave. Or she's so, whichever one they choose. He's so brave. Really? Is that what brave is? Is that what courage is? Are we together? So, this is why you can never use the word metrics to define anything, to measure anything. You can never accept the definitions of the world about anything. You know why? The Bible says we have God. We know that we have God. And the whole world lieth in wickedness. 1 John chapter 5 verse 19. The whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world lies in wickedness. You know, I love the Greek word used. It's poneros. Poneros means pain causing. It means annoyances. Glory to God. It means out of shape. So we cannot use the word's definition. Every time, and I've said this over time, every time a concept is mentioned, check out what God says about it. Amen. And most times when you look at what the world is calling something, the opposite likely is what God is saying. Are we together? Why are young people under intense pressure in certain places? The world's definition of success. For the world, success is outward, irrespective of the means. But in the kingdom, the end does not justify the means. How you got the result will determine whether God will validate it or not. Glory to God. There are places just appear with some millions, with your cars. In fact, your mother will not ask you where you got the money from. As a way of life. It will just be like, oh, my own son has blown, my own daughter has blown. There are people who know their daughters are into prostitution. They don't see anything about it. As long as they give them money. Glory to God. And they announce that, oh, they are successful. Are you together with me? The whole world lies in wickedness. The whole world, that we're talking about the systems of the world now, is under the sway of the evil one. Oh, and is sponsored by lies and selfishness. So we cannot look at the world to define what success is or to determine how to do things. We can't. So if social media is forming and framing your mind concerning something, you have to review it now. If a series, a movie is beginning to frame your mind about certain things, about love, about money, about success, about greatness, about the human experience, you have to review it now. Because the curve is like this. The Bible says it cometh to naught. There are ways of doing things. There are definitions and indices. It's sponsored by what the Bible calls the wisdom of this world. It's actually wisdom. But you know the destination of the wisdom? It comes to naught. Meaning it tends towards zero. It brings destruction. Man has never been able to help himself outside of the provisions of God. It will never happen. So any attempt to get things done outside of God's order and pattern will produce trouble, will produce discomfort, will produce stress. The Bible says their sorrows are multiplied by hasting after other gods. He's not saying you gather idols in your house and you are bowing down to. No, that is not the only way to hasten after other gods. Is somebody here? When your pursuit and your focus is aside the kingdom, and we're going to get into that, you are hastening after other gods. Because in this, listen, God, let's reintroduce the Father and the kingdom a little bit. God is not your president. No, he's not. He's not elected, selected, appointed. He's a monarch. Can I get an amen? He's a monarch. You know, the 21st century is used to democratic system of government. Except you take out time to study, you not really understand when we say God is king, Jesus is king, I'm going to lift our hands to worship him. You may be thinking about the president of your country or the president of the United States, glory to God. But God ain't in any of those categories. God is a monarch. He's the monarch of the universe. And in the kingdom, everything is about the king. Yes, is somebody here? What is a kingdom? The kingdom is the king plus his sphere of influence, plus his way of doing things. That's what makes the kingdom. Is somebody here? So he says, seek ye what? First, the kingdom. This is God's order now. This is God's system for meeting needs now. This is God's system for greatness now. Seek ye first, the kingdom. The kingdom. We'll call it the protocol of the kingdom. Seek ye first, the kingdom. And his righteousness. He now added, all these things. What are all these things? All these things means all these things. It means everything on the earth that gets men's attention. Everything on the earth that natural men pursue. Everything on the earth that is the object of the pursuit of man. All these things. Fame, money, health, a good name, popularity, success, name it. All these things shall be what? Added. Shall be added. But you see, the light of Satan has twisted the minds of many believers. And what they think is actually the other way around. Pursue, seek ye first all these things. And somewhere at the bottom, seek the kingdom. Can I get an amen? Seek ye all these things. That's somewhere along the line. Add the kingdom to you. Somewhere along the line. We may not say it with our mouth. But you see, in the realm of the spirit, action speaks. Speaking is not the only way of communication. Eliab never said anything. But the Bible says God saw him and rejected him. What did God say? His heart. Why did God choose David? He says, I found a man where? After my heart. It was about the heart of David. Kingdom first. The rate at which many Christians, or the direction in which many Christians are going, if nothing is done, there will be a problem. Amen. Because like I said, there's a twist. It's as though God says, seek all these things. And on Sunday, just come to church. And just, oh, Father, thank you. I know you love me. I know you're kind and gracious. That's not enough. Seek ye first the kingdom. That means from Monday to Saturday, priority is the kingdom. Glory to God. Does that mean you should sleep in church every day? No. Does that mean you should come to church every day? No. But God doesn't like it. Somebody say, eh? Seriously? Pastor saying that? I thought pastors want people in church every day. Not this pastor. Amen. You should be in church when you are supposed to be in church. But you carry out ministry out there. Glory to God. I'm sure some people are happy with me now. They say, this is what I've been looking for. Glory to God. Don't worry, we're going there now. Praise God. Are you blessed already? So, that is God's priority system. It is kingdom first. It is kingdom first. It is the king first. It is his agenda first. It is his way of doing things first. So when he says, seek ye the kingdom, he's talking about the king. There is no kingdom without the king. He's saying the king must become a priority. Number two, what he wants must become what you want. You see, in a monarchy, you don't want something else apart from what the king wants. You live for his royal majesty. You live for her royal majesty. Amen. Every land in England belongs to her royal majesty. Are you aware? Even and all the other colonies, they belong to her royal majesty, her majesty's land. And imagine, when people are raised in schools, they are told they are told that the queen owns them. Yes. You know, this democratic thinking is what is confusing many people. You are told that the king owns you. Go and ask anyone who grew up under a monarchical system. Not your Igwe or not your Atao. Amen. Or not your Oba. Those are not true monarchs. The politicians rule them. Amen. They appoint them. No. Not those ones. Not those ones. When they chase the king out of his kingdom, a politician will chase it. That is not what they're talking about. So don't bring your Oba, your Igwe, or your Atao into this thinking. We're talking about it, the true monarchy, where the king owns everything, where everything is by the king and for the king. When the king is passing and he sees anything, he can point it, it belongs to him. If he leaves it for you, that's his benevolence. Belongs to him. So when in Revelation it says, "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." That's a monarch. That's a monarch. Are we together? So in the kingdom, anyone who is interested in the king, his agenda, his way of doing things, will always get the attention of the king. Always. And let me add this, the degree to which you are interested in the king, in his agenda, in his way of doing things, is the degree to which the king empowers you in the monarchical system. Are we together? That's what makes knights. You know those knights in Asian kingdoms? Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. The problem has never been with the things. I say that again. The problem has never been with the things. Listen, that is what Satan wants you to think. He wants you to think that your greatest issue right now is that you need the house. Your biggest problem right now is that you need money. Your greatest challenge right now is that you need the car. Oh, the greatest thing you need right now is a husband, is a wife. That is not true. That is not true. You need that job. And it looks as though, look, that is the biggest thing right now. It's not true. And in fact, you should never get to a point where anything becomes a god. I've told you before, never make a god out of your needs. You should never get to a point where Christ is not amplified, where Christ is not one. I mean, Christ is not number one and the only. Never get there. No matter how important that need is, God doesn't want you to get there. Satan wants you to get there. And every time, the biggest thing in your heart must be the king and his agenda. The biggest thing. Consider the other things as the things that will be added. Somebody says, he says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added. Oh, but I'm seeking the kingdom. Why are the other things not added? When you are truly seeking the kingdom and his righteousness, meaning his way of doing things, in no time the things will be added. Listen, God owes no man. God is consistent with his word. The Bible says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his son. God is faithful, meaning God is consistent, meaning God is reliable, meaning God is committed to bringing his words come to pass. Amen. And actually, God wants to get us to a point where truly, we'll have need to, but they don't have a hold on us. Because of our focus on the king and his agenda. He says, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness. This introduction, if somebody's thinking, okay, so pastor is explaining this, and he says it's a series. It's just one verse, seek ye first. I just introduce it. Glory to God. So that verse gives you your object of daily pursuit very clearly. I say that again. That verse has given you your object, your focus, and object of daily pursuit, well outlined, well explained. That is what it is. Seek ye first the kingdom. I've explained what the kingdom is. The king, his agenda, his way of doing things. There is priority to life. Write it down. Did you get that? There is priority to life. Activity by itself will never translate to productivity. if you don't have the understanding of the law of priority, as far as the kingdom of God is concerned, it's getting serious now. Amen. There's priority to life. And really, what separates the wise from the foolish, effective Christians from those who are not, is the understanding of kingdom priorities. Are you there? This thing cannot be bent. You can't bend it. You have to find it out and live according to the books. There is priority to life. There is priority in this kingdom. In this kingdom, the king comes first. And truly, there's a kingdom. Jesus talks about the kingdom. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. There's a kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. There's the kingdom. What did he pray in that prayer when you're teaching the service to pray? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. His kingdom has come in your heart. The day Jesus became the Lord of your life, that kingdom was implanted as a seed into your heart. But the kingdom must be established in the earth and on the earth. Are we together? That means the first way, in fact, and that's big. The first place, the first way God establishes his kingdom on the earth is by establishing it in the earth. In the earth means in this earth should call man. Oh, did you get that? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. That means he's not talking about something happening in the air, on the mountains, no, in the earth, in humans, in their hearts. This is why I would say kingdom advancement happens when Jesus becomes Lord of the heart of people. That's the beginning. When we establish the Lordship and the influence of Christ in the hearts of men, that's the beginning of his kingdom come. That's the beginning of his kingdom come. So there is a kingdom. There's a kingdom. There's a kingdom. And that kingdom has come into our hearts. Glory to God. But we can neglect it. What did Jesus say? He said, the kingdom is within you. When they say, look here, look here. Go to the wilderness. The Christ is there. The Messiah is there. He said, don't be going round. The kingdom is where? It's within you. The kingdom is within you. God has set up his kingdom within you. If you are born again, his kingdom is within you. But you see, that kingdom must be sought. Your heart has become the headquarters of the king, the headquarters of his agenda, the headquarters of his wisdom. But that kingdom must be sought. That kingdom must be given priority. There's priority. Whatever God has shown you about your tomorrow, about the days to come, if you don't give priority to the kingdom, you can never get there. Oh, I say that again. It doesn't matter how big your dreams are. It doesn't matter how mighty the vision God has shown you is. God will never give you anything in life that excludes him. I say that again. God will never give you anything that excludes him. Never. This is why for the fulfillment of that vision, oh, you have to seek the kingdom first. Except you go and get demonic powers. And you know the economy of that. Exchange of the soul. Allegiance of your soul. It's bad business. Glory to God. But there's no other way. Priority to the kingdom. Priority to seek in the kingdom. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are you blessed already? The Bible calls, said something about the jealousy of God. You see, God has a jealousy. What's jealousy? Who knows what jealousy is? Jealousy. What's jealousy?
I did not see anything. I just called the word. Why are some of you laughing? You heard something before. Look at these church people.
To passionately lay claims exclusively to something or to somebody. Amen. Have it together. And being unwilling to lose your grip, that's jealousy. There's the jealousy of the Lord over us. And that jealousy of the Lord demands full attention, demands priority on Him. Glory to God. There's a dimension of that jealousy that protects us from evil, that protects us from the scheme of darkness. Yes, that's the dimension of the jealousy of the Lord. The jealousy of the Lord on you will not let Satan touch you. Glory to God. But there's a dimension of the jealousy of the Lord you must understand, that God wants to be number one and only. Have it together. That He wants to be the only king of your heart. Have you noticed that in the Bible, the first sin, in fact, what we call the original sin, is a sin of despising God, of disbelieving God. Even in Revelation, those that will be cast into the lake of fire, topmost is the unbelieving. Because God's greatest obsession is to be believed. Have it together. God wants your attention. He loves it. The jealousy demands that you don't give your attention to any other thing. Look at the times that God punished the children of Israel. He never did that because of fornication, adultery, stealing, lying. What was God against? When you read the sojourn, worship of other gods. Have you noticed? He hates the other ones, but not as much as when other things get your attention and get your allegiance in worship. Have you noticed that? When Balaam couldn't curse them, when Balaam could not get to them, he says, I have not seen iniquity in Jacob, neither perverseness in Israel. The Lord our God is with her, and the shout of the king is in her midst. Were you thinking those Jews were all perfect? That would be a greater miracle. That 3.5 million people, nobody committed sin, and they don't have eternal life. That's the greatest miracle. But the Bible says, I have not seen it. It didn't say they did not commit, I have not seen it. Why? They were under the covering of blood. What was the strategy of the enemy to get them out? Worship of other God. And the jealousy of God is against that. Are you blessed this morning? You can go and wait it for yourself. Do. What God hates the most. He said, thou shalt not have any other God before me. Oh, they couldn't trade that one. Thou shalt not have any other God before me. And when Jesus came and broke down the Ten Commandments, you know what he said? He said, it's broken into two. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. That talks about priority. The king wants your attention. That's what he's saying. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Everything. If God cannot have everything, he'll not have something. You can't give him half. He wants everything. Are you here? He wants everything. He wants everything. Hallelujah. This is both an admonition this morning and instruction and teaching, all happening at the same time. He wants everything. He wants you to focus on Him. And by the way, He's not asking you to be perfect in yourself. That's not what He's saying. But He wants your attention. Listen, nobody gets destroyed because they have bad habits, because they have weaknesses. No. People get destroyed because they run away from the secret place, because they refuse to give attention to the king. That's all. Once you are beholding a king, and you are coming in worship and prayer, in seeking His ways, in seeking His word, He will take care of you.
You see, this person, this man of God, or this Christian, this happened to them, or they're out of this, they were destroyed. It's not because of the attitude. They were not destroyed because they loved women. They were not destroyed because they loved money. They were not destroyed because they were insulting people, because they were lying. I can tell you that. The cause of the destruction is their absence from the secret place. The cause of the destruction is the lack of beholding the King, of giving Him your attention. Is somebody here? Because when you stay and behold, you will become. If He can get your attention, the transformation is guaranteed. So the problem is not that the person is struggling with smoking or struggling with pornography. That's not the problem. The problem is the decision to make Him a priority. And whatever that thing means. To make Him what? A priority. See, when you consistently see God, your flesh will die. You will lose taste for this world. The world will become boring to you. Boring! Even basic things that are not wrong, you will lose interest. I will never forget. Maybe 2005 is how many years ago? 16 years ago. Before then, I was the football analyst and fanatic. I won't tell you my club, amen. I see at the club after then. Glory to God. That was when the call of God began to get strong. And strong. I still watch football once in a while. But brothers and sisters, that desire, that passion, that looking for Jen to turn on TV, died.
That's right.
Well, some of you know what I'm talking about. Hey, you will hustle. He died. You know he's dead? He died. I'll sit down and be watching the football and be bored. And be bored. Not pretending I'll be bored. I'll be bored. I thought I sat. I said, isn't not people just kicking ball here and there? What's? Amen. It's beholding the King. Priority. Priority. Glory to God. Kingdom first. Priority lessons in goodness. Amen. There are two areas of kingdom priorities I want you to look at. I want us to look at. And I'll start with number one today. Okay. Number one, let's see if we can get in second service, get into others. You can write it down. Number one, the priority of truth. The priority of truth. Number two, the priority of prayer. You can list them, then we'll start taking them. Number two, the priority of prayer. Number three, the priority of sponsoring the gospel. Write it down. Number four, the priority of kingdom service. Number five, the priority of soul winning and discipleship. These are the five things we're talking about in kingdom first. This is God's pathway to greatness. And there are scripture for all this. This is God's pathway to greatness. So in your life, are you giving priority to truth? Are you giving priority to prayer? Are you giving priority to sponsoring the gospel? He says the Lord gave a word. Great is the company of those who published it. That is shortcut to greatness. He gave a word. You publish it, then you become great. The priority of sponsoring the gospel. The priority of kingdom service. Jesus said, who shall be the greatest among you? The one that serves you. Let him be your servant. The priority of kingdom service. And the last one, the priority of soul winning.
soul winning and discipleship. Glory to God. All right, the priority of truth. Let's start from there. The priority of truth. Luke chapter 10, verse 39 to 42. Luke 10, are you blessed this morning? Luke 10, 39 to 42, very quickly. Luke 10, 39 to 42. Hallelujah. Oh, all right. Start from 38. Let's have a background to it. Start from 38. You all know the story already. Start from 38. I think a good place to start. And Jesus, 38, not 30. You can't read from 30. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Received him into her house. Now she was the elder sister. And she was a person who recognized and honored the anointing that Jesus carried. You know, we say this jokingly, but it's true. If you have ministry and there are no women, you're a suspect. Amen. Glory to God. Because according to scriptures, I'm serious, there is a role that women play. The only portal through which another human can come from the realm of the spirit into the physical realm is a woman, two of us. Glory to God. And that's why you notice at every place, all our patriarchs had strategic women in their lives. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Who have helped them down to the ministry of Jesus. Amen. Even the prophet, the one that God used as a channel, even though it was a mutual thing, to sustain Elijah was who? Was the widow of Zarephath. Glory to God. The widow of Zarephath, who gave him food, and then the food was multiplied. But if somebody was ready to believe. Amen. Imagine if you are talking to a man to give you his last food. You pray harder. Why? Their minds are analytical. Amen. Women are more yielding. Amen. They have their own problems too. I won't go into that today. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. When I talk to people I mentor who just start church, I say, ensure all your pastors are not ladies. Amen. You are in trouble. Glory to God. Have some young men around you. Praise God. That's talk for another day. Amen. That's for pastors. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. What was I saying? All right. So I was talking about even Elijah, right? The widow of Zarephath. I mean, so yielding. Women are yielding. I think that's what I was saying. Glory to God. Elijah now, right? She gave what she had, the widow of Zarephath. Food was multiplied and all that. Elisha, the same thing. The Bible said there was a woman in Shunem, the Shunammite woman, Lekos Kabaya, who noticed, the Bible says she perceived that this is a holy man of God. A holy man of God. And she told her husband, every time he passed by, they compelled him to come stay and refresh and eat in their place. Now, it's similar to this picture. That's why I'm going there. And he will eat. And then one day she just said, look, let's build him a house in the upper room. Build for him a penthouse. Learn to honor the prophets. It's something you must carry along in your life. Some of us had mothers who did that, but growing up, we're missing it. My mother did that. She does not joke with the anointed. They can carry your last food and go and give pastor. Amen. You wait for when the next will come. Glory to God. Amen. You know, in a generation where the institution of the anointing is being attacked, you have to be careful. I've told you, every time they are shouting about the man of God, about bishop, about this pastor, it's not them they are after. It is your faith that is about to be destroyed. Are you here? Satan is after the collective faith of the church. Because God has a pattern. He has created an institution to preserve his heritage on the earth. It's called the institution of the anointed. And use your life to defend it. Did you hear what I said? Use your life to defend it. The anointed must not be defenseless when you are there. Ayah. Did you hear what I said? The anointed must not be defenseless when you are there. While you are there. Use your life to defend it. Because your future depends on it. Go and ask David. You know why David could not be? Do you know the kind of forces that rose against David? Even his household rose against him. Satan mobilized kings in different nations around him to come against him. When that did not work, enemies of his household, his son, his firstborn son, rose against him. And Absalom was a fine man. And he wasn't just fine. He convinced Ahithophel. Ah, do you know who Ahithophel was? You know, it is said that when Ahithophel speaks, it's as God has spoken. When he gives counsel, listen, when he gives counsel, you don't ask next. When he talks. Now, that was a supernatural gifting. It was utterance. God gave him a voice. But see, and this says a lot about relationship. That voice was to function while he was with David. Separation will make his voice useless. And that's what happened. There are people God has sent to you. You know, that's the mistake some associate pastors make, because they are seeing results. Is it? They think, oh, it's just the anointing is on me too. You are making a mistake. You are making a mistake. Are you here? When he separated from David, he knew that, look, what gave authority to his gift was the anointing upon David. When he spoke, and guess what he spoke was accurate. Very accurate. Makabaya. But the force of David's prayer and his anointing was working against him. He said, oh God, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Life is spiritual. Life is spiritual. You know, when he spoke, his words was like puff puff. No puff puff. No value. Say puff puff. Absolutely. Say, okay, that's nice. Next. He couldn't believe it. I will talk and you seek another counsel. Absalom went with the counsel of the spy that was sent. He went and committed suicide. Are you learning wisdom? Glory to God. Protect the institution of the anointed. The anointed should not be defenseless while you are there. That institution is for the preservation of God's heritage. Is your hiding place. God has a way of doing things. And so we're going to get there. That's part of the righteousness. God has a way of doing things. Oh, hallelujah. All right, so the woman has shown him, right? Let's build him a house. We'll put a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Prophetic requirement. That's what you need. Not just a bed to sleep. You needed a table and a lamp to study. To study. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now, that was a woman who helped his ministry. It's a digression, but he's blessing you. Okay? Glory to God. And then one day, you see, honor for the anointing provokes a response. It does. One day he sat. He says, this woman has troubled herself for her sake. What can we do for her? Now, that's how a prophet thinks. What can we do for her? What can we do for her? Do we speak to the king for your sake? He said, I live among my own people. I'm blessed. And then the servant said, she does not have a child. Now you can't read that, especially for those of you who have the call of God on your life in ministry. You can't read that and stop. I'm not pressing to God. As a man under no covenant. Glory to God. Listen, the heritage of the church is supernatural. Never forget that. There's no other way. We can't trade it off for wisdom, talk, and seminar. We can't. Glory to God. And I was telling them, I was in the Abuja church, all the people within that I was just talking to. You see here, in every season, the diet of a people must be tested. That means what you've been feeding on over time will be tested. Coronavirus was a revelation of the diet of the church. It was. And that's how you see cities that the church was just packed like that. Just one statement from government, everybody just went into hiding. Glory to God. You see, there's something about the diet. The apostolic church has a DNA that loves trouble, that responds. Do you understand? You don't just say, don't cross over to this time and say, okay, sir. No. The apostolic church does not respond like that. Let's leave this talk for another day. It was a revelation of the diet. Sorry to say. Daniel told them, he said, give us this thing, let's eat, and you will test us. That means everything you have been eating will be tested. What you have been eating spiritually, it will be tested. He said, test us, and you see that we are better. So there's a diet, we call it lean diet. Lean diet. And that's what we are feeding you with, lean diet. The others were eating the savory meal, the king's meat, right? But Daniel and his friends were on lean diet. But you see, in the process of time, when it was time for manifestation, for the diet to be tested, they were better. They were better. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm fully out of time. Rise to your feet. We'll continue second service. Father, we thank you. You know, I told you from the beginning that the anointing I felt was to teach for 2 hours now. So, you see, it's now we're about to enter. We're about to enter into it. We shall have total immersion. Amen. Glory to God. I was just about to enter. Kai, we give you praise. We give you honor. Just in 1 minute, talk to the Lord concerning what you have heard. Lord, you are my priority. My one and only. And then try to stay for second service. Amen. Just open your mouth and talk to the Lord. You are my priority. Can you speak?
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.